and with the Westcoy Business and Professional Association. And on behalf of the theater also, the theater staff, we want to welcome you all here. Congratulations to the candidates making this far. And I hope you have a good time tonight. And we thank the people for coming out and supporting our event. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Jay Robertson. Jay Robertson is, if you've been here a long time in Kauai, he was Mr. AMKUI Radio, sports, entertainment, politics, and anything. And he now is the director of Kauiki, and you'll enjoy the silver voice of Mr. Jay Robertson for politics and popcorn.
I had to trade in my dulcet tones for the silver. It works sometimes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the beautiful Waimea Theater here out on Kauai's lovely west side, and I'm glad you guys could be with us. In particular, I'd really want to thank our Kauai Chamber of Commerce and the West Kauai Business and Professional Association for their interest in this event and for their coordination, hard work, and dedication to providing, you know, election information, candidate information, an opportunity for you to learn more about those people you're going to be voting for come our election time. This process has already got underway. The candidates have been meeting somewhere outside, and they have randomly selected the number in the order that they will appear tonight. We do have representatives for the District 16 for the State of Hawaii House of Representatives. We're also privileged to have our two mayoral candidates, and we will have our county council to wrap up the evening. None of the candidates know any of the questions. They will all be randomly asked in a variety of orders, and bear with me as I try to keep the grid schedule correct. Oftentimes it doesn't work that way, but I'll pretend like I didn't make a mistake, and you guys pretend right along with me, and things will work out very well. In charge tonight of our timing, and we do have very strict time limits on our candidates' responses, I want to thank Catherine Singsong and Teresa Koki for being our sergeants of arms, so to speak, and they will run the time. Each candidate will get about 2 minutes to be able to answer their question, and so we appreciate that. And candidates, if you would acknowledge and respect the signage when they do put that up, it's very important that you do that. So they're going to keep me on track. I'm going to keep you guys on track. I hope you have a very pleasant evening in store for you. Like Dave said, popcorn is available, and that is up in the concession stand. Just for your information as well, the bathrooms are out in the lobby area. And so I encourage you, if you have a penchant for popcorn, please get up and get some. Just don't throw it when you get in here. That's not recommended. We will, as I said, begin with the State House of Representatives, District 16. Then we will be followed by the mayoral forum, and then we will get to our county council. So without any further ado, let's get this thing underway. First of all, tonight, I really want to thank our media. We have an outstanding crew here that is recording and presenting this, not only island-wide, but worldwide. I really appreciate Kauai's community radio station. They're on hand here tonight, all the way from the North Shore, and they are broadcasting throughout the island. There is also an island worldwide stream at kkcr.org. So folks from around the globe will be listening to the questions and answers tonight. Also very grateful that Hawaii Stream is here. They are streaming this broadcast tonight live out of hawaiistream.com. And last but not least, Hawike Kauai Community Television is here as well. They are broadcasting that on channel 54, I do believe, on your cable system from now until the time of the election. So without any further ado, let's meet some of our candidates. And I'd like to bring up our State House of Representatives, District 16 candidates. Please welcome Victoria Franks and Dee Morikawa. I didn't mean to catch him off guard throwing it up that quickly. Surprised you, didn't I? Wait till you get the questions. Incidentally, District 16, and for everyone's general information, stretches from a good portion of Kaloa all the way out to Polihali. It also includes the island of Ni'ihau. About 21,000 people reside in this district, and of that, about 16,000 or so, maybe just a little over 16,000 people, are 18 and above, which means they are eligible to vote. I will be giving each of the candidates an opportunity to introduce themselves, then we'll go through our questions. Candidates, you'll have 2 minutes to respond, and I will alternate between the two of you you with the next succeeding question. So in our earlier draw, Victoria Franks was selected candidate number one. So we'll begin with you in your opening and introductory remarks.
Good evening. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you, West Kauai Business Association, for hosting this forum. Again, my name is Victoria Franks, and I'm running for the State House of Representatives for District 16. My husband, Steve, and I have been married for 27 years. We have three children, ages 23, 15, and 10. They were all born and raised here in Hawaii. We moved to the state of Hawaii back in 1989, so we've been here a long time. In the past, I've worked in the visitor industry. I've worked in the financial sector. I've taught school. I actually worked as a finance analyst for Walmart.com for a while. But most of all, we have been in full-time ministry on staff with King's Cathedral and Chapels and the nonprofit program that they run. My husband serves as a chaplain with the Kauai Police Department, and we make our home in LA. I've served in leadership roles my entire life. I earned my associate's degree from Williams College and my BA from Blue Mountain College, and I did some postgraduate work at Central Bible College. All the time I was there, I studied political science, international relations, music, business, and economics. There's lots of things that I've accomplished here on the island of Kauai, lots of things that I've been involved with. We have a great program with our food pantry that's a distribution center for the Hawaii Food Bank. We do homeless outreaches. We've done outreaches in Hanamaolu, in Hanapepe, in several places throughout the island. I volunteer in my daughter's school, in Kalaheo School. And there's many more things that I would love to be able to share with you that I just don't have the time. One of the things is that we do need to have a smaller government, and the voice of Kauai needs to be heard greater. And my goal is to listen to you and what you think and how you feel.
All right. Thank you very much. Is it okay if I call you Vicky?
That's fine.
Perfect. We'll go with Vicky. All right. D. Morikawa.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm going to change it up a little bit tonight because this is our third forum. I believe in fate and destiny, and I can say this because my life experiences has made me see how and why I'm here today. Like living in the three Waimeas in Hawaii, Kamuela, Waimea Falls on Oahu, and now here in Waimea, Kauai. My mom's maiden name was Morikawa. Now I'm a Morikawa also. Now, Kamuela was cowboy country. My dad was a Parker Ranch cowboy. We were poor. And I think because of that, my parents divorced when I was only five. Waimea Falls, living in the valley, allowed me to be that ranch girl. I rode horses. I watched rodeos. I guided tours up to the falls. Waimea Bay afforded me the fishing opportunities, swimming skills. The river is where I learned to catch frogs, mullet, tilapia. I was living happily in poverty, but living off the land. I also got to experience surfing because my dad made surfboards way back then. And I got so wiped out, I swore never to surf again in my life. Now my dad remarries, and I learned to become a more civilized child under my stepmother, who's a nurse. We live in a they manage a care home. I end up working in that care home. I was an honor student in high school, also at KCC. And I think that was because all I did when I was a child was read. I would read everything I could get my hands on. That was my entertainment. After high school graduation, I landed a county job. It wasn't handed to me. I had to compete like everyone else. I had to be top five. It took me 10 years to get my degree in accounting because I needed to juggle work, school, and I was raising a young family. But here I am today, 40 years of government service, still dedicating my life to public service. This is my fate, my destiny. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. Now we'll get to the first of our questions. Vicky, we will begin with you. Which of your accomplishments have directly benefited the people of Kauai?
Do you want the whole list or just the top 10?
That's 2 minutes worth.
That's how it feels like. My accomplishments are born in the lives of the people that I've helped, that I don't have a long list of legislation that I've voted for or have my name on. I cannot qualify my actions by that. While I qualify my actions is by the people and circumstances that I have affected. Like I said before, we have a food pantry outreach through the Hawaii Food Bank program. We have homeless outreaches that have been here in Hanapepi Park, in Salt Pond, in Hanama'ulu. We hand out blankets, food, clothes. We have like a free thrift store that we offer for the people that are living out on the street. I volunteered in school programs in the Kalaheo School Drama Program with Ms. Mariag. In fact, my oldest daughter is now helping out there as well with that. We have a program called Transformation that we have developed. It's a program that's helping people with life-controlling problems. We have a collaboration with Wynn House and with the other women's shelters. We're directly being able to work with these ladies, help them get their lives changed, turn around, get their families restored, help them get their children back, help them heal their relationships with their parents. We do youth camps, children's camps, lots of community events, productions, egg hunts, a big pumpkin patch party. Actually, we're doing two pumpkin patch parties this year. A glow show, which is a glow-in-the-dark puppet show that we do for children. We have Adopt-A-Highway. We have a counseling program. But the main thing that I was involved with that I love so much was our outreach for the Filipinos after the typhoon. We were able to raise $10,000. And we were able to send 11 large boxes of food, clothes, toiletries, household items to the Philippines. My husband went there and spent an entire month taking care of the people there.
Thank you. D. Morikawa, which of your accomplishments have directly benefited the people of Kauai?
Thank you for that question. As a legislator, I realize that I have a lot that I can talk about. But I think the most important one when I first got elected was saving the trout program up in Kauai. And today the trout fishes are thriving. Also getting the watershed protection funding out. We have the most beautiful watershed area up in Kauai. We need to protect that. And right now we are doing projects that will bring all of those hoofed animals down and out of the watershed, and which will bring back all of our tropical plants. Also, the Waimea High School, I believe we did a good job of trying to get leadership there, and because the population at the school was going down dramatically, and I think we are in a new direction, and I see a future there at the school. Funding the DLNR base yard, future base yard, that's going to be a big project because their presence here on the west side is going to be crucial to getting enforcement issues addressed. And the biggest thing right now is that we have almost $30 million to repair Hanapepi Bridge. I think a lot of you don't realize how bad the condition of the bridge is. It's just a matter of time. There's nothing holding up the bridge right now, and today as I passed over it, I realized that the bridge had sunk some more. So that project is going to be critical for the west side. But those are the ones that I can talk about at this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will continue on. And Dee, this will be your question. During the hard economic times of the state, the Hurricane Fund was used to fund certain initiatives statewide. What is the status of the Hurricane Fund currently, and how do you plan to affect a positive result towards that fund?
Yeah, the legislature did have to use funds in the bad times, bad economic times that we had to go through, with the promise that we would be replenishing those monies back. Now, most people don't realize that the Hurricane Relief Fund is not to pay insurance off of your homes. It is to make sure that companies that run away, that fund will be there to cover those companies. We have replenished it. We're going to replenish it as much as possible in future years, depending on the new leadership. But our promise has been kept, and that fund is going to come back at least to the level where we can survive if we do have another hurricane. Thank you.
Thank you. Vicki, the same question. During the hard economic times of our state, the Hurricane Fund was used to fund certain initiatives throughout the state. What is the status of the fund to your knowledge, and how do you plan on affecting a positive change or a positive result towards that fund?
I believe that the fund is not near where it needs to be. But in order to pay for things, you know, you have to have the money to do it. And so what we need to do is look where we can trim in other areas to be able to get that fund back where it needs to be. without raising taxes. I signed a pledge to not raise taxes. And I think there's lots of areas that we need to revisit. But we always need to make sure that we have a cushion there, because you never know when something's going to happen. And we have to be able to rely on ourselves and helping each other and not have to look to outside other countries or whatever to help us. You know, it's a good thing for us to be self-reliant. It's a good thing for us to be able to make the hard decisions that we need to make to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Vicki, we'll stick with you here. Do you support the military's presence at PMRF Barking Sands? And if the answer is yes, then what will you do to ensure that it continues to be a priority for Kauai? And if no, please explain that.
I think that the military presence here is vital to our island. It's vital to our economy. They contribute a lot toward our economy because they don't bring everything in from outside. I know some people are under the impression that large corporations or large companies import everything in. They don't. They get things from local vendors just like you and I do. And I think that we need to continue every good neighbor policy that we have and any more that we can develop. I know that they are trying to make programs for our young people to learn even more about what they do. When we were out at PMRF for the 4th of July celebration, I loved seeing the booth that they had set up talking about some of the science programs that they were going to be offering. And I think that we need to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to be involved with them, and that we can continue to have open dialogue to be able to see even more areas that we can be involved with them and they can be involved with us.
Great. Thank you. D. Morikawa, do you support the military presence at PMRF, our Barking Sands? If yes, then what will you be doing to ensure it's a priority? And if no, you can explain that as well.
Yes, I definitely support them. They are our last defense system in the nation as far as Asia is concerned. They employ 1,000 employees. They are potentially they can provide first-class employment. They can be considered as a conservation area for ocean resources because they're not open to the public to go in and fish whenever you can, although their access now is a lot easier than it ever was. I just recently heard that 1,300 passes were applied for. So, you know, as far as being a good neighbor, they understand that local people want to go in and still have that fishing resource, and they allow it. They are good neighbors, and I will do all I can to make sure they stay on the west side. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Morikawa, we will continue with you. You'll get the next question. Would you support an initiative to revive the Super Ferry and to have it provide service to Kauai?
Yes, I would. But like I said before, it's a slim chance that that would come back because of the expense, unless some big investor is willing to put up the money and bring it in. Perhaps the military might be the first to use it because for them it's easier to transport their equipment from island to island. The environmental issues need to be addressed too. And if I remember correctly, when the ferry was operating way back when, there were a lot of conditions, ocean conditions that they weren't prepared for, and I think that assessment would have made them more aware of that. It's not necessarily a stable form of transportation, but it's a good one, and I do support it more for the islands of Maui, Molokai, and Niihau, because the waters between those islands are fairly easy to traverse. And yes, if it does come back, I would support it.
Thank you. Vicki Franks, would you support an initiative to revive our super ferry and have it provide service to Kauai?
Yes, I would. We've lived on the islands of Molokai and Maui and used the ferry system that already exists between Maui, Molokai, and Lanai on a consistent basis. It provides a cheaper form of transportation for a lot of people that are having to go to other islands to work, because on Molokai there weren't a lot of jobs, and so people traveled to Maui every day to work. We took the ferry a lot when we had to travel. It will provide cheaper transportation. It would make a way for us to be able to get our agricultural products, whether that be you know, whether it's food or livestock or whatever, to the other islands to market. It would make it cheaper for the people, the farmers and the ranchers, to get their things to market. Now, one thing we'll have to look at definitely is the environmental impact. We will have to go through the proper channels and not try to skirt any issues. Everything needs to be above board. If we're going to do these things, they've got to be above board. We can't hide behind anything. We've got to make sure that we've got all our ducks in a row and that we know what we're doing. And I believe that the super ferry would be a good thing because it will save on transportation costs. It would increase our tourism because the people that live on the other islands could come over here for a day or a couple of days. They could bring their car. They could travel much cheaper. And I think it would increase tourism a lot as well as provide jobs.
Thank you. Vicki Franks, question number 5 is yours. Hawaii's medical providers have been faced with the need to make some very serious cutbacks, including staff reduction here at KVMH. How will you address this budgetary issue?
This is a really hard question. There's lots of problems. I know that they had to petition the legislature for more funding last year, and it's sad when we can't meet a budget that we need in every area, and I know that those hospitals are the safety net for our families, for our kupuna, and we need to be able to do what it takes to make that happen, whatever that has to be. Now, there are places, and it's not easy when you have to go in and you have to say, I need to cut something. When you look at your own budget and when you're trying to make ends meet, you look at the things that you're going to have to trim in your own pocket. And you know that you can't run something if you don't have the money to do it. So we need to find a way to get to work with the collective bargaining for the workers. We need to find a way to make better proposals with the vendors, looking at the rents where some of the clinics operate, and just going to have to take a hard look at everything, see how we can restructure things. One of the biggest things would be a partnership between public and private health care, so that the health care for our residents is expanded and everyone gets the health care that they need, but we can do it with a better understanding if we're working together. There's lots of options that we have if we bind together as public and private. There's even land around Mahilona Hospital in Kapa'a that could be expanded and maybe some housing put on there for doctors or nurses or seniors or whatever. There's many things that we could do to make those things happen. We just have to be willing to take a hard look and make the tough decisions.
Thank you very much. D. Morikawa, the same question. Hawaii's medical providers have been faced with the need to make some serious cutbacks, including staff reductions at KVMH. How will you address this budgetary issue?
Right. The Kauai hospitals were given emergency appropriations of approximately $10 million to help them get out of that huge hole they were in earlier this year. The greatest stumbling block right now for the whole system is to get an efficient electronic medical record system, and that's what's been costing so much. And yet we don't see any fruits from those expenses. So that's why the legislature is hesitant as far as just throwing money at them. We want to make sure that they're accountable for what they're budgeted for. You know, the system needs help to get better billing in place, proper reimbursements, as well as sharing information to other care facilities for the benefit of the patients. Kauai is fortunate to have two hospitals. Now, Mahilona, as far as I'm concerned, is the true state hospital. They have a lot of long-term care. They take care of mental health patients. They have an emergency room, and then the patients get transferred over to Wilcox. So they work hand-in-hand with Wilcox. KVMH, on the other hand, is more of a competitive hospital. So we need to figure out how we can work with them to not duplicate services but to enhance services. And I think as far as the state funding, it's a necessity. State hospitals do not make money. We have to fund them, but we have to make sure that we hold them accountable for the money that's sent their way. Thank you.
Thank you. Dee, we will continue on with you with our next question. District 16 includes large and small agricultural businesses, which will be affected by Kauai's Ordinance 960, also dubbed our pesticide and GMO law, which was passed in 2013 and recently overturned by a federal judge. Do you support Ordinance 960, and what is your opinion of the judge's ruling?
I think the judge did what was right, because it is the state's function to do that. There are state and federal laws in place already to protect as far as pesticide regulation. Any company or organization allowed to operate a business in Hawaii should not be treated any differently just because they use pesticides or GMOs. I think what we've done is beef up the agencies in the state, Department of Health and Department of Ag. We should be getting additional environmental health specialists to monitor complaints, and that's where it is. When the complaint comes in, we have to be able to get out there immediately, investigate, and do whatever remediation is necessary. And that is our state's what we should do. The county, on the other hand, can enhance it. They could have a liaison, help with complaints, and I think if we would work together like this, we could save taxpayers a whole lot of money. Thank you.
Thank you. Vicki Franks, as you know, District 16 includes both large and small agricultural businesses. Do you support Ordinance 960, and what is your opinion of the judge's ruling?
I agree with the judge's ruling. And if you look at the laws that are already in place, the state has them, and they cannot be circumvented at the county level. Otherwise, it makes a mockery of our justice system. Now, most people don't even understand the whole situation. There's still a lot of division and misinformation. People are becoming victims of fear-mongering, and a lot of it takes place because there are mainland activists that come in that just try to get people stirred up. And activists are not, most of the time, are not working toward a common goal. They want it all or nothing. But yet they can't come up with a viable plan that would take care of the jobs and the millions of dollars that our economy enjoys and that our economy thrives on because of the large agriculture. Now, it's important that we still have the disclosure. That's got to be in place, that we still have monitoring the water quality and everything else. And if you look at the studies that have been done by the state, the water quality, they showed no levels of pesticide that were not acceptable. Now, we can choose to accept the decision that the judge made, or we can choose to continue fighting. And I think that's a complete waste of our time and energy. There's so many, we'll just continue to divide our community if we just keep fighting on that level. We can move on and work on actual problems that we can do something about, like housing, education, traffic, the elderly, homelessness, and all those things. And I hope we can move forward and actually set out to do something meaningful and use our resources wisely to make it and not keep fighting on something that's going to continue to divide our island.
Thank you. Vicki Franks, question number 7 begins with you. With the County of Kauai revamping its strategic tourism plan, what kind of input would you have to improve our marketing for our Garden Isle and lobbying for an increase in regards to the TAT?
Well, I worked in the visitor industry for several years, actually on the finance side of it, but I also got to book tours for people coming in and for companies that were coming in, and they would want to come in and come to, you know, some big places or rent out the big houses, and they put a lot of money into our economy when they came in. I think that it's important that we continue to beef up our marketing and that we continue to expand to other areas, trying to bring more people in. And I think one of the things that we can do is show, in certain areas, I think it would be important that we show Hawaii as an affordable destination place for families, not just for the rich. And I think that if we show that we are a place that doesn't just cater to the rich, I think that's going to bring more people in and let more people come and enjoy our island. And I think because we have a more rural quality of life here, that we have more of a laid back, you know, we're not Honolulu, we're not Waikiki, we don't ever want to be that way. And I think we have an appeal to people because we have more of a laid-back lifestyle. We're not the big city. We don't want to be the big city. We want to be the way we are. But I think it's important that we market ourselves as an affordable place for families to come and not just for the high-end places, but as a real family destination. And I would like to see more people stepping up and more partnerships between companies to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Dee Morikawa, as the County of Kauai revamps its strategic tourism plan, what would your input be for improving marketing for the island, and what would you do to help increase the in regards to the TAT?
Okay, the legislature did increase funding to the Hawaii Tourism Authority and the county's TAT to address the tourism industry, but I know the county wanted more. I did support the lifting of the cap earlier on in the session, and if they pursue it again, I would support it again. Because the counties know best what the capacity is on each island, what the resources are that they need to promote, and that is something they would do way better than the state. And I think, you know, as far as moving on in the future, things get better, we should really try to help the counties get their fair share of that TAT. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dee, we will remain with you, and if I could ask you to please share a few of the ways that you have been involved with or supported the West Kauai community.
Wow, I've done, as a legislator, a lot. The biggest thing I think, especially here in Waimea, would be fixing that pipe that brings the water down into the valley to the farmers. For years, the county struggled with who should fix that pipe. The county pretty much put up most of the money because the state would say, no, it's not us. And if it was, we really don't have anything to do with it. But we finally got $50,000, and the bid was just awarded. So that pipe will finally get fixed, and the farmers down in Waimea Valley won't have to worry about getting that source of water. And it's a lot of things with the ag out in Kekaha, getting money to for them to do the drive shaft repair so they can get a new water source. At this rate, I think my record shows what I can do for the West Side as far as building that, the confidence at the legislature, building seniority, being on the finance committee. That enables me to bring money home to the West Side. And if I can continue this, doing this for as long as I possibly can, I can't imagine where the West Side, Southwest Side of Kauai can end up, and Niihau. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. Vicki Franks, could you please share a few of the examples of the way you've been involved with and supported our West Kauai community?
Well, most of it I mentioned in my list a while ago, because we do have one of our main centers here in Ele'ele. So a lot of the things that we do benefit the West Side. We have community outreaches we've had in Kekaha, we've had in Waimea, we've had here in Hanapepe, at Salt Pond and Hanapepe Park. We have a two-mile stretch of highway for our Adopt-a-Highway. We've had our food distribution on this side as well. Our homeless outreaches. Like I said, I volunteer at Kalahale School. We have our transformation group here in Ele'ele and also one in Hanama'ulu. So we're in both places there. And that is helping the people with the life-controlling problems. Our youth camp we have up in Kokei. We have our kids' camps up in Kokei. We have our pumpkin patch party and our glow show are in Ele'ele. So a lot of what we do has benefited the West Kauai community.
Great. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we're now at our last question. And I could go forever with you two. Anyway, Vicki, we will begin with you. What process changes would you recommend with the recent discovery of student lunches being revoked at our schools due to a shortfall in the school account?
I think for them to throw away a lunch, a child's lunch, is, how do I say this nicely? Stupid. It's stupid. If you know that a child is hungry and they don't have the money, it's not going to break the bank for a $2 lunch. And when the kids' parents are able to bring the money in, great. Now, don't let them go in the hole. Make sure that they're sending letters to home to the parents. You know, like we get letters. When my daughter's lunch account is getting below $10 or $5, I think it is, they let us know you need to put more money in your child's lunch account. We continue to do that, but a child can't help it sometimes. Maybe their parent didn't get paid when they were supposed to. Maybe they're having a financial struggle. It is humiliating to a child to take a lunch away from them and throw it in the trash can. That makes me so angry. It just makes you want to go and punch somebody because it's just wrong. It's never right to humiliate a child in front of other people for any reason. And I think that we need to have more compassion, and we need to find ways to, look through our educational system, see other ways we can find the funds, trim where we need to trim, again, to find the funds that we need to help subsidize more of our school lunches. Thank you.
Thank you. Dee Morikawa, what process changes would you be recommending with the recent discovery that student lunches are being revoked at school due to the shortfall in their school account?
I don't know if the process is something that's not there, because as a parent of children long ago, the policies were in place. You had to put money there. If you didn't, there would be a small little fund that would front the money, and then you'd right away, they'd get in touch with you, and you'd put money back in that account. Now, this is a very horrifying reaction to an incident that may or may not have occurred. We don't know. We haven't heard two true sides of the story. I have let the Department of Education follow up on this. I think it's proper that they need to investigate if this is proper or not, or if it's happening at the school or not. But for this to be happening, that is, like Vicky says, stupid. And I hope and I pray that this isn't truly something that is continuing to happen. From what I've heard, though, it's not. So who knows until you actually get in there and do the true investigation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. At this time, I would like to ask for your closing remarks. You've got 2 minutes, and we'll begin with you, Vicki Franks.
Throughout this grassroots effort, I've been doing a lot of door-to-door, and I talk to many people. They've voiced their concerns that the righteous philosophy of our state motto has not been protected, nor has it been preserved. Fairness, truth, and justice have not been upheld, and the people have lost their right to control their own destiny. Integrity and the quality of life that's desired and deserved has mutated into a culture that our founding fathers did not attend. Apathy seems to rule the majority, who believe that they are no longer relevant in government nor in our society. Destruct and hypocrisy has replaced the Constitution's mandate that our government have a compassionate heart for all people, especially those who call Hawaii home. Democrat and Republican don't matter anymore. It's who represents the values that you have. I'm not a politician. I'm a mom running for office. That's what my daughter said for me to tell you. My passion is for people. To me, serving in government is not just a job. It's a personal and professional mandate. That's what I feel I'm called to do. My desire is to restore the heart, our beloved Constitution, and rebuild the people's trust in their own government, and to return fairness to the process by which our government is run. We should be public servants of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's why I'm humbly asking for your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dee Morikawa.
Thank you. In 20 years, this is my vision. I see communities working together to decide what works best for their lifestyle, whether it be ocean resources, safer transportation designs and options, safer routes to school, as well as better emphasis on healthy lifestyles. Kauai's energy will be sustainable through other sources like solar, hydro, biofuel. Our children will have affordable access to preschools. Our school classrooms will be air-conditioned. Play courts will be covered. And students will have access to first-class computer technology. Our state hospital facilities will be able to accommodate more of our elderly into quality, long-term care, along with other private care facilities, and more senior living communities will be available. LALA's Lima Ola Affordable Workforce Housing, which incorporates smart growth principles, healthy living, and green sustainable features, will be completed. And finally, the West Side will have a first-class sports facility that promotes sports tourism and state and national competitive events. For District 16, this is the third and last political forum this election. People's ability to learn about candidates through technology are amazingly easy through forums like this. Thank you to the Kauai Chamber of Commerce under the outstanding leadership of Mr. Randy Francisco and the West Kauai Business Association for giving people the opportunity to hear us so they can vote with confidence for the candidates they support. We have accomplished a lot by working together, respecting our differences, and at times agreeing to disagree because our goals are the same. This is to make Kauai and all of Hawaii a better place to live. Again, I'm Danette D. Morikawa, running for re-election to the State House of Representatives, District 16. Mahalo to all of you.
Thank you, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, candidates for District 16, Victoria Franks, D. Morikawa. And just a quick reminder for our audience far and even farther, you are enjoying this live broadcast from the Waimea Theater. It is the West Kauai Business and Professional Political Forum right here on Kauai's community radio station, KKCR 91.9 on your dial. You may be watching it on the stream at hawaiistream.com, courtesy of Hawaii Stream. And eventually, you'll be watching this repeatedly on Hoike Kauai Community Television. Pardon me. We're going to take a quick five-minute break. We're going to get ready for the mayors. Again, popcorn is available in the lobby. Bathrooms are out there as well if you need. They do have liquid refreshments, water, I believe, and soda. And there is candy, of course. You're in a theater. So 5 minutes.